Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we continue our week of special programs celebrating the nation of Israel, and staff evangelist James Collins will bring a moment of prophecy. If you'd like a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 or visit swrc.com. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for your prayers and financial support as we continue to proclaim that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Today, we look at Petra. Petra is the most amazing ghost town in the world, and we believe Israel's hiding place during the last half of the tribulation. Today, we're opening up the vault to listen to longtime ministry president and radio host Noah Hutchings as he teaches on Petra in history and prophecy.
When I first went to Petra, there was only one hotel. Now there are 73. And that just illustrates the tremendous interest in this old cave city south of Jordan. And we believe the Bible indicates plainly that Petra will be the city where, at the midway point of the tribulation, Israel, at least a third of Israel, will escape out of the land. And this is where they will be protected by God for 3.5 years. You know, Petra was always a city of refuge. Those who were looking to escape from vengeance from relatives or others who wished to kill them, they would go down to Petra. You know, David went down to Petra. And I think the scripture is also plain that when Saul left Damascus, he went down to Petra. So it's always been a place of refuge. We believe the Bible teaches that it will be a place of refuge for 3.5 years. And it's becoming more and more important now than it ever has, I believe, in history, even in biblical history. Because one reason it's been voted one of the 7 wonders of the world. There seemed to be a fascination there for this old city. There seemed to be some mysticism there. It is a city about 30 square miles of caves. Its biblical history is just unbelievable about what happened there and the people who lived there in the past and what the Bible says about it in the future. And it is now a heritage site of the United Nations. So more and more, for some reason, we think God knows why, it's going to be even a greater important city in the future when Israel flees from the Antichrist. You say, well, why would Israel flee to this old city? Why wouldn't they go there and kill them? You know, Jerusalem is a burdensome stone for all nations. And the thing about it is, the Palestinians, there's no such race as a Palestinian. The Palestinians are Edomites, and we'll tell more about this later. But the thing about it is to get the Jews out of the land of Israel. That's what this controversy there is about. According to the Bible, 2/3 of them will be killed. 1/3 will escape. But who will care where they go as long as they're out of the land? We're going to be telling how this is all going to happen, what the word of prophecy has to say about how all this is going to come about. I think it's probably mentioned more than any other city, even more than Babylon, other than Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem is mentioned in the Bible more than any other city. Of course, Babylon is mentioned many times, but I think Petra is mentioned probably more times than Babylon, because in the Bible it goes by many names. It goes by Mount Seir, Mount Hor, Selah, or the place of the rock. It's called the Edomite stronghold. It's called the land of Uz in the Bible. So it's called by many names, and if you will trace all those references, you'll find it's probably mentioned more than any other city in the Bible except Jerusalem. Let's look at the name it goes by, the land of Uz, first. There were 3 men in the Bible named Uz. The son of Aram, Genesis chapter 10, verse 23. The son of Shem, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 17. And the son of Dishon of the family of Seir, Genesis 36:28, and we read that Job lived in the land of Uz. Job had all these cattle and goats and sheep and had this great estate, and we're told that he lived in the land of Uz. Why was it called the land of Uz? Because evidently that's where these three other men who were called Uz lived. At least a couple of them lived down in Petra. So it was called the land of Uz, and that is where Job lived. We read that in the first verse in the book of Job. Just north of Petra, in fact, it's called Little Petra. It's just a part of the whole complex. There is a place called Beatra. If you go out to Little Petra, you go right into Beatra. And archaeologists say that is one of the oldest communities in the world was Beatra. And I walked through there. It was a big estate. Probably the main part of it was about a block square. You could see the outline of the houses, the vessels they ate out of, where they lived. And I really believe this was the estate of Job, Beatra, which was right there at Little Petra, adjoining Big Petra, and that would have been a good place. I cannot understand who would have lived there, maybe except Job. So it's an important historical place, biblical and otherwise. Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse 24. And when our days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were two twins in her womb, and the first one red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the children grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man in the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lineage, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau had a red complexion, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of red beans. Therefore, he was nicknamed Red, or Edom, because Edom means red. And in the subsequent account, Rebekah induced Jacob to trick Isaac into bestowing his birthright upon him because Esau had already traded it to him for a bowl of beans. So it is evident from the scripture that Esau never intended to keep his part of the bargain. To him, it was kind of a joke. But the birthright always belongs to the eldest son, and Esau had come out of the womb first. So legally, it would have belonged to him. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. God honored Isaac's blessings upon Esau and gave him the land of Edom. We read of Petra, or Edom, where Esau went down. We read that he chased the Horites out, who were the descendants of Dishon, the Horite. Hor means cave dweller. So he went down and chased the Horites out. Then Esau dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which were also accounted giants as the Anakims. Now, also at one time in Petra, a race of giants lived there. That was before, evidently, the Horites lived there, and Esau chased out. So there were giants in the land in those days, and some of them dwelt in ancient Petra. But the Horites called them Emmons. The Horams also dwelt in Seir, the Horites, before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them. They chased them out. when they were destroyed from them before them, and dwelt in their stead. And Esau did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto him. Therefore, that is how Esau was related to Petra. He simply went down, chased the Horites out, and took over after he lost his birthright to Jacob, which would have been the land of Israel. And the Palestinians, we're going to bring out later, are Edomites. That's why we have this big fight still going on today, because the Palestinians, or the Edomites, claim the land. Israel claims the land through Jacob. They claim the land through Esau. They say Jacob cheated their forefather out of the land. So that's why we have all this fight going on in Israel. There are some related to Esau, maybe some of those in Lebanon or some other places, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. First ones they came in contact with that fought against them were the Amalekites. Amalekites were also descendants of Esau. All the descendants of Esau have been bitter enemies of Israel, although they are half-brothers. They're kinfolks. But they're fighting over the same piece of land that Esau sold to Jacob for a bowl of red beans. There's going to be a time of trouble, as Daniel said, and also Jesus said, such as the world had never seen before or never would see again. But right in the middle of all this is the old city of Petra. As I said, it's now one of the seven wonders of the world. The eyes of the world are turning to Petra. Last I was there, you couldn't hardly get into this big city. City of caves, 30 square miles. It was wall to wall with people from all over the world. We met tour groups from China, from Singapore, from Indonesia, from Brazil, from Venezuela, from South Africa, from Russia. There were a lot there from Russia. So there were just thousands and thousands of people there. And you may wonder, why are all these people coming from all over the world to this old city of Esau, the old city of Petra? The Edomites chased out of Petra by the Babylonians, and later also by the Romans. The Herods were Edomites. Of course, most of the Edomites at that time were in Israel. The Babylonians came in. It was a practice when a conqueror conquered another country, they would mix the people around. That would make the people who were entitled to the land, they would put them somewhere else. That would destroy the sovereignty of the country. There's no such race as the Palestinians. They are Edomites. And actually, they are illegal immigrants in the land. If you want to know the truth about it, of course, we can feel sorry for them and all that, but they still claim the land. Some of them were in Jordan. Some of them were the present-day nation of Israel. They remained in the land. They were wandering bedouin tribes that Lawrence of Arabia gathered together there. But many of them just lived in the land as Bedouins or settlers there. Of course, the Jews were gone during the diaspora for almost 2,000 years, scattered into all the world. Jesus said that Israel would be scattered into all the world until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, they're back in the land. But we know, according to what Jesus said, that during the tribulation period, that two-thirds in the land would be killed. That means the Jews that were in the land of Israel when the Antichrist made his appearance. But one-third he would bring through the fire. We read in the last few chapters of Isaiah that the Lord will go to Bozrah to bring his people home. Now, Dr. LaHaye says that Petra is also called Bozrah in the Bible, but that's not exactly correct. Bozrah is just north of Petra on the King's Highway. And I've been through Bozrah. It's now called Bozraiah. It's not called Bozrah now, but you can check the Bible dictionary, and it will give the present name and where it's at. It's just north of Petra on the King's Highway. We read that Isaiah says that when the Lord comes for his people, he will meet them from Basra and take them home. They will be in Petra for the last half of the tribulation, and they will be gathered just outside of Petra when the Lord comes, and he will lead them back to Israel. It's a marvelous story, and we go to Petra today, we see how all this is going to come about. I asked my last guide why there were no airplanes over Petra. Why didn't they build an airport there? And he said, well, planes don't fly over this area because of the tremendous magnetic influence in the cliffs and in the minerals here in this part of the country. But we have to understand that Jerusalem is the burdensome stone for all nations, the land. So I don't know that the Antichrist at that time is going to be concerned about those one-third of Jews are going to escape anyway. They're out of the land. He stands on the Temple Mount. So what would happen today if all the Jews in Israel would suddenly get up and go to Petra? Well, everybody say good riddance.
Fascinating insight from Noah Hutchings and his teaching on Petra. Petra is mentioned more times in the Bible than any other city with the exception of Jerusalem. Petra is a fascinating and important place in coming events. It will be a witness to Israel both now and during the coming time of Jacob's trouble. Petra, in History and Prophecy, is a book and DVD that will open your eyes. You'll be amazed at the volume of scripture relating to this rock city of 20 square miles located in southern Jordan, just a few miles from Israel's border. Petra, in History and Prophecy book and DVD are available with the two-disc tour of the Holy Land all together for a gift of $25 or more to the Ministry of Southwest Radio. Order the Petra book, DVD, and tour of the Holy Land by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order our offer today online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. James Collins is here now to share a moment of prophecy on Israel, a miracle nation.
Back in the winter of 1984, Pope John Paul II was scheduled to visit an Italian hospital. The Pope was running late that day, so the hospital staff waited patiently for his arrival in the lobby. A doctor with a handful of paperwork took a seat in a wheelchair and busied himself writing notes. He was so caught up in his scribbling that he failed to notice when the Pope finally entered the hospital. The Pope walked over to the doctor and blessed him. The doctor immediately stood up and walked forward. Believing they had witnessed a miracle, everyone in the Pope's entourage let out an audible gasp and crossed themselves. Truthfully, I have never witnessed the miracle of a man confined to a wheelchair regaining the ability to walk, but I have walked in a miracle nation. I have been to Israel. The reestablishment of Israel in May of 1948 is a modern miracle. Since most end-time prophecies have to do with the nation of Israel, scholars before 1948 struggled to make sense of those prophecies. Writing in 1909, C.I. Schofield said, "According to the prophets, Israel will be regathered and restored to her own land." When Schofield wrote those words, Israel did not exist, and there was no expectation that the nation would ever exist again. In 1946, the founder of Southwest Radio Church, Dr. E.F. Weber, wrote, "I cannot explain how, but at the end of this age, Israel will be a nation again." 5 years later, he wrote, "I visited Palestine in 1950 and saw the Jews returning to their promised land from every nation." Imagine how excited Weber must have been to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled before his eyes. First among the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the miraculous restoration of Israel in their land after more than 2,500 years of being scattered among the nations. It is true that a remnant did indeed return around 500 BC under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. However, Israel was never an independent nation. They were ruled by the Persians, later by the Greeks, and then by the Romans. When the Zionist movement gained momentum at the beginning of the last century and the Jews began to immigrate back to Palestine, the region was controlled by the Ottoman Empire. In 1917, the British conquered the Ottomans. Then the region was ruled under the British Mandate for Palestine. However, on May 14, 1948, when Israel declared her independence, that all changed. Israel's rebirth was the most momentous prophetic fulfillment in recent history. The prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and many other prophets predicted that in the last days, after many years of exile, the Jews would finally return. Isaiah even predicted that they would be born in a single day. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, 7 and 8, "Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." In these verses, Isaiah prophesied that the final restoration of Israel will be astonishing, and that the nation will be born at once. In other words, the nation of Israel would be reestablished in a day. Then, like a woman who gives birth before she has labor pains, the nation's birth pains will occur after it is restored. This prophecy found partial fulfillment on the 14th day of May 1948, when Israel declared independence, and will find final fulfillment when Jesus Christ returns. On May the 15th, 1948, the day after the nation was born, the birth pains started when five Arab nations attacked Israel. The birth pains have continued ever since, with one war after another. The 1948 and 1949 War of Independence was followed by the Suez Crisis of 1956. Next was the Six-Day War in June of 1967. That was followed by the 1967 to 1970 War of Attrition, the Yom Kippur War of 1973, the Palestinian insurgency of South Lebanon, which lasted from 1971 to 1982, the Lebanese War of 1982, the South Lebanon conflict from 1982 to 2000, the First Intifada or Arab Uprising, which occurred from 1987 to 1993, the 1990-91 Persian Gulf War, the Second Intifada from 2000 to 2005, the 2006 Hezbollah War, the Gaza War of 2008 and 9, Operation Pillar of Defense in 2012, and the most recent state of hostilities between Iran and Israel. Despite war after war and terrorist attack after terrorist attack, Israel has amazingly withstood the onslaught because Israel's fate is not in the hand of its enemies. Israel's fate is in the hand of God. In Jeremiah 16 and again in Jeremiah 23, the prophet predicted that in the last days, the regathering of the Jews in their land would come to be known as an even greater miracle than that of the Exodus. The Jewish people were dispersed to the four corners of the world for over 2,000 years. During that time, they were hated, persecuted, and oppressed. Many, from Haman to Hitler, tried repeatedly to exterminate them. However, despite all those efforts, they never perished, nor did they lose their identity as a people. There were less than 40,000 Jews in Palestine in 1900. Today, there are almost 7 million Jews who have come from all over the world. That is nothing short of a miracle. Again, let me remind you that many prophesied events of the end times occur in Israel. These events could not take place if Israel did not exist. However, the miraculous nation does exist. Today, everything appears to be falling into place for Israel's date with destiny at the end of this age. Time is winding down. Jan Markell, host of the national radio program Understanding the Times, said in a recent interview that the restoration of the nation of Israel is the super sign that the Lord is coming back soon. Author David Reagan agrees with Markell and calls the Jews God's prophetic time clock. Reagan explained, quote, "What I mean by this is that the scriptures will often tie a prophesied future event with something that will happen to the Jews. We are told to watch the Jews, and when the prophesied event concerning them occurs, we can be sure that the other prophesied event will also occur." Close quote. Occasionally, I will hear someone say something like, Wouldn't it have been incredible to be alive in the times of the Bible and witness all of those miracles? I submit to you that we are living in the times of the Bible, and we are witnessing miracles. The miraculous rebirth of the nation of Israel is proof that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, and the stage is being set for the grand finale of history. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is closer than ever. Are you ready? This is James Collins reminding you that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That was James Collins, staff evangelist here at the ministry. Did you know that James is available to speak at your church? Whether it's a special meeting on prophecy or to give an update on all the exciting things happening here, James Collins is excited to be part of your special event. To schedule James for your next church event, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 and get him on your schedule today. Speaking of today, we're offering Petra in History and Prophecy book and DVD along with Your Tour of the Holy Land. Now, Your Tour of the Holy Land is an opportunity of a lifetime to go to the Holy Land from the comfort of your living room. Playable on a computer slideshow, this two-disc set is a composite of two tours with nearly 2,000 full-color titled photos that will take you through Jordan and Israel. The two-disc tour of the Holy Land and Petra in History and Prophecy book and DVD all together are available today for a gift of $25 or more. Order the Petra book, DVD, and tour of the Holy Land by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And don't forget, if you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. The new listener pack includes a free book. To request your new listener pack, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Also, remember that conferences are back and registration is open right now. We're coming to Denver, Columbus, and Las Vegas. We're also going to have a virtual conference that is completely online. So register for these outstanding conferences today by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com, and then just simply click on the conferences tab on the homepage. That's swrc.com. Tomorrow, we're going to learn about the important Jewish roots of Christianity. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.